Good afternoon. This is Ozarks at Large for Thursday, October 10th, 2019 on 91.3 KUAF, a listener-supported service of the J. William Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. I'm Kyle Kellums. Ahead on our show this afternoon, several hundred business leaders from around the state gathered this week to honor the recipients of the 2019 Free Enterprise Awards, and Paul Galling was there. He'll tell us more in this week's Northwest Arkansas Business Journal report in our second half hour. After Ozark, stay with us for NPR's Here and Now. The Trump administration has provided ample material for late-night talk shows, like The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. A conversation with Fallon about comedy in a divisive time. Here and Now begins right after Ozarks at Large at 1 o'clock. And tonight, Ezra Klein, who writes for Vox, Bloomberg, and MSNBC, will discuss How Washington Works as a guest of the Distinguished Lectures Committee at the University of Arkansas. The lecture at the Faulkner Performing Arts Center on the University of Arkansas campus is free and open to the public. Doors open at 6:30 tonight. This is Ozarks at Large. Arkansas Public Theater is hosting a screening of the animated film Coco in Spanish Saturday night. This is the first event being planned by a subcommittee of APT's board of directors focused on reaching out to the Hispanic community. Samantha Herrera is a member of the new committee, and yesterday she met Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda at Iron Horse Coffee Company in downtown Rogers to discuss the new initiative.
Why was reaching out to the Hispanic community something that the board wanted to address?
I think that Arkansas Public Theater, since it is in downtown Rogers, it's a pretty integral part of the community. They recognize that the Hispanic population is a really big part of the community. I think it was 31% of the population in Rogers, as according to the last census, was Hispanic. So they thought it was really important to kind of put together events that celebrate them and bring them into this part of the community that maybe they aren't completely familiar with.
So you're trying to reach out specifically to the Hispanic community, I'm going to assume, because perhaps they haven't been a large part of your audience historically. How do you sort of bridge that gap to a group of people that maybe aren't familiar with what you're offering?
So I think that Arkansas Public Theater, they recognize that it is the Hispanic community is a large part of it, and they haven't, I don't think they've alienated them, but there hasn't been anything specifically targeted towards them, celebrating them. And I think, for example, the Coco, we are screening it in Spanish. And I think that it's just something that they've probably always wanted to do, but they haven't had a plan for putting it together. I think dedicating an entire committee to Hispanic outreach is a really good way to reach this goal that they've probably had for a long time, just didn't know how to go about it.
So tell me more about the screening on Saturday of the animated movie Coco, but in Spanish, and it'll be at the theater. What time is there anything else going on with it?
The screening of the movie, it's showing at 7 at the theater, and prior to that, we are going to be showing a trailer of a local documentary called Land of Lights and Shadows, just kind of about immigration here in Northwest Arkansas, which I think is very interesting. And prior to that, we, from 4:30 to 6:30, we are going to have a face artist, a face painter, face painter there drawing, doing a face painter doing Sugar Skull paintings. We're hoping to get a lot of cute little kids with the Sugar Skull paintings. I think that would make some really great pictures. And obviously adults can come. It's not exclusive to children, so adults can come and get their face painted as well. So that's kind of the big activity that we're offering prior to that. And the concession stand will be there. It will be open. We're actually giving away little snack bags of some traditional Hispanic candy. So come and get some of those. Everything is free. Well, the concession stand, I think you have to pay. But other than that, the tickets and the face painting, everything is free. You can register online at arkansaspublictheater.org for free tickets. And we hope everyone comes out and has a great time.
The goal of the committee is to do this more often. Do you have any other events planned, or how often do you hope to do something like this?
I think right now, we don't have a specific calendar, and I think movie night was kind of a really good way to ease into it. Our hope is to, I can't really say with what frequency, but to definitely offer more events for the Hispanic community, not all, just movie nights, but different kinds of gatherings where people, not just Hispanics, but everyone in the community just kind of gets exposure and a little bit of knowledge about the different facets of Hispanic culture, because it isn't just one country and one set of traditions. So hope that they can come learn about it and then also just enjoy it because it's really fun.
What is the importance of having events like this? You mentioned the initial goal of, you know, reaching out to the Hispanic community, and while the events may be sort of focused on an aspect from, you know, that giant culture, which mm-hmm. is, like, as you mentioned, a lot of different cultures altogether, what can, you know, the community as a whole get out of it?
I think, like I mentioned, I think just the knowledge and exposure to things that maybe you weren't familiar with, an understanding of people's traditions and cultures, and not just Hispanics. I think that this country is just full of different kinds of traditions that I find it super interesting to just learn about and get to know. And I think that if you find something that speaks to you and that interests you, just constantly learning, I think, is a goal that everyone should have.
Thank you so much, and good luck with the event.
Thank you so much.
That was Samantha Herrera, a member of Arkansas Public Theater's Board of Directors. She spoke with Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda this week at Iron Horse Coffee Company in downtown Rogers. Free tickets and more information about APT screening of Pixar's Coco Saturday night are available at arkansaspublictheater.org.
Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation. Little Wing Productions presents American singer-songwriter Don McLean and his Bye Bye Miss American Pie tour to the Auditorium in Eureka Springs on Friday, October 18th. This Songwriter Hall of Fame inductee is known for songs Vincent, Starry Starry Night, and I Love You So, and others. 888-695-0888 or theauditorium.org for tickets and information.
This is Ozarks at Large. An Arizona attorney and Springdale woman were indicted this week on charges related to a scheme to bring pregnant women from the Marshall Islands to Arkansas to give their babies up for adoption. Paul Peterson is facing 19 federal charges, and his co-defendant, Maki Takahisa, faces two counts in addition to charges of aiding and abetting alien smuggling that were filed against her earlier this year. Dak Keyes, the U.S. attorney for the Western District of Arkansas, made the announcement yesterday at Springdale City Hall. Springdale is home to the largest population of Marshallese outside the Marshall Islands.
Our investigation has revealed that since 2014, Mr. Peterson used his law license and his legal expertise to prey not only upon the women of the Marshall Islands, but on many innocent families here in Arkansas that wanted nothing more but to add to their family.
Peterson lives in Arizona, but routinely practices law in Arkansas. Dak Keyes says he lied to the Marshallese mothers, then instructed them to lie to customs officials, as well as Arkansas judges, during the adoption process. While citizens of the Marshall Islands can travel to the United States under a compact of free association, which means they can do so without visas, Keyes says there is a provision in the compact that Peterson knowingly violated.
The provision in the compact says they cannot come into the United States for the sole purpose of having a baby for an adoption. That is specifically prohibited within the compact.
Keyes says Peterson met Takahisa 15 years ago while she was going through the adoption process. In their scheme, Takahisa and other associates would find Marshallese women who wanted to give their children up for adoption. While in the U.S., Keyes says they would live with Takahisa or her family members.
Our investigation uncovered that while Mr. Peterson was engaging in over $1 million of wire transactions during the course of this scheme, it was not uncommon for a dozen of Marshallese mothers on the verge of giving birth to be confined to a single family dwelling here in Northwest Arkansas. It's not uncommon for up to four of those expecting mothers to be confined in a single room. Some expecting mothers were forced to sleep on the floors.
Keyes says Peterson would charge adoptive families about $40,000. The Marshallese mothers would get $10,000 or less, and he would pocket the rest. Although the charges against Peterson are related to only four specific adoptions, Keyes says he likely facilitated hundreds of such adoptions.
I want to make perfectly clear that at this point, we have uncovered no evidence, nothing to suggest that any adoptive parents or adoptive family in Arkansas has engaged in any misconduct, was aware of this scheme, knowingly engaged in this scheme. Up until this point, there's no evidence.
Keyes says their evidence suggests all the Marshallese mothers wanted to go through the adoption process, but were lied to about the legality of it, so they haven't heard from any women who want their children back. And, he adds, more charges and more indictments are coming against more defendants related to this case in particular and to other similar schemes.
Make no mistake, this case is the purest form of human trafficking.
Keyes says the case against Peterson and Takahisa came to light because members of the local bar association told federal investigators something was wrong with Peterson's practices. Peterson is also facing 32 charges in Arizona and 11 in Utah, all tied to this same scheme.
On Radiolab, you'll hear a lot of this.
No.
This whole notion is totally wrong.
Really?
But I thought...
No.
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 Wait.
Not quite.
But Einstein tells you...
That to me just seems...
But... So...
Jeez.
Come on.
But you'll also hear a lot of this.
Yes.
I think that's absolutely right.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's the ticket.
Tune into Radiolab to hear us grapple with and sometimes understand the world's mysteries.
Radiolab is part of the new 91.3 KUAF weekend lineup. It debuts this Saturday afternoon at 2. Another new program joining the Saturday lineup is It's Been a Minute with Sam Sanders at 11. That will be followed by Milk Treat Radio at noon, Rick Steves Travel on its new day, Saturday at 1, Radiolab at 2, and then Hidden Brain at 3 o'clock Saturday. And please note that Latino USA moves from Saturday to Sunday, now heard Sundays at 3 beginning this weekend. There is a full schedule of the new weekend lineup at KUAF.com. Speaking of the weekend, the Northwest Arkansas Women's Shelter will host Fresh Start Art Auction, a fundraiser and awareness raiser at Peel Mansion in Bentonville. Amber Lacewell with the Northwest Arkansas Women's Shelter recently came to the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio. She says Saturday's auction includes artwork from professional artists as well as pieces donated by clients. And the money raised, she says, helps finance services provided by Northwest Arkansas Women's Shelter.
We serve anyone who's been a victim of domestic violence or sexual assault who's in need of our services and qualifies depending on what their situation is. If somebody's in an immediate need for shelter, then we have our shelter. If they don't need shelter, but they've experienced domestic violence and need healing from that, we have things like support groups, counseling services. We have a court advocate who can help people navigate the court system and legal system, help them with an order of protection and those types of things. So it's one of the things we're talking about more and more is, you know, we serve anyone in our community, regardless of somebody's background, if they're male or female, regardless of sexual orientation, race, whether or not they have legal paperwork to be in this country. We want to be a resource for whoever we have in our community who's in need of support. And all of our services are confidential. So if somebody reaches out and somebody calls to check up on and see if they're receiving services, we're not going to reveal that information because of that safety and that confidentiality piece. And that we're very strong believers in that. We're all about protecting the confidentiality of our clients.
Shelter is in the name, of course, and it indicates refuge, which the shelter can provide refuge,
yes.
But there's more than that.
Absolutely. Yep. All of our services, or I would say most of our services, are available to non-residents, just like they are residents, so people living in the shelter. So Our advocate team, you know, we have a crisis hotline and we answer it 24/7. Our advocate team answers that along with volunteers. And when somebody calls, we're kind of screening them to try to figure out what services they need. And we're telling them about the services that we offer so that they can make an informed decision. And then from there, we'll plug people in where it makes the most sense. So we served, I'd say on average, 500 people in shelter alone every year. Last year, it was 478 people, and that's men, women, and kids. We had the most number of men we've ever served last year, and that just continues to grow each year. So we're always just trying to let people know, you know, we exist, we're here. If you need us, please don't hesitate to reach out.
Yeah, I was going to say, part of, I imagine, what you try to do is not just provide the services that you do, but sometimes people may not know, especially if language might be a barrier or something, you need to let people know how to get hold of you.
Absolutely. So our hotline is the best way to reach us, and the number is 479-246-9999, and we answer that 24/7, 365, and anybody in the community can share that number if they know somebody who they think might be experiencing domestic violence. I would encourage them to please share that number with that person. If they don't know how to do that safely, anybody can call us to get advice on, you know, how do I have a neighbor, I have a friend, I have a family member who I think could use your help. How do I have that conversation with them? How do I keep them safe? And our, again, anybody who answers the hotline at our agency is trained to be able to help them. And those are sometimes the best conversations. I used to be an advocate when I first started 7 years ago. And those are always good conversations to have to educate even family members who can be really frustrated with trying to help someone navigate the system. And sometimes individuals aren't ready to get help yet. So being able to be their voice in those situations is really cool.
When somebody is fleeing a situation of domestic abuse, sometimes they take very little with them. They arrive and they may need eventually someplace else to stay, perhaps another form of transportation. There are a lot of things that people will be needing. I imagine you can't help them with everything, but you can connect them to people who can?
Absolutely. So we can't be the experts in everything. We can be the experts in a handful of things. And we really rely on community partners to be able to help meet those extensive needs. And so we're currently and really looking forward in the future when we're talking about strategy, really building up those partnerships that we have. Obviously, there are tons of great agencies in Northwest Arkansas, and we already partner with some of them. But we're looking at how do we beef those up? How do we create more MOUs with some of those partners?
Memorandums of understanding.
Yes. Yeah. How do we formalize some of those agreements so that we're able to, especially looking into the future, continue to help our residents and outreach clients as they navigate the system and build a life free from that violence that they've come from?
You said you were an advocate when you started 7 years ago. As Northwest Arkansas has grown, have you seen a growth in the need of services?
Absolutely. And I think what we see national trends and then even locally, what we've seen is more of a need for outreach services. That's not something when I started that we really put a lot of time and energy into. And now we have an outreach advocate who's dedicated to that. Whereas when I started, it was just kind of, you know, whoever was around who could help somebody who was needing services on an outreach basis. That's what we did. And now we have a dedicated person to follow up with them. Our counselor is new in the last couple years. And so having that person on site to help our clients, she's already got a full caseload. And so we're working with other partners to figure out how we can continue to meet that demand for services without having a really long wait list for individuals waiting to see our counselor as well. I'd say the more we talk about it and have a presence in the community and everybody begins to have more conversation around abuse, especially sexual assault. That's been really a big topic of conversation in the media and even just in general conversation. It drives awareness to the need of the problem and the problems that exist in our society. And so from there, we tend to get more phone calls as well.
Amber Lacewell is with the Northwest Arkansas Women's Shelter. The Fresh Start Art Auction is Saturday at Peel Mansion in Bentonville. A preview for sponsors begins at 5:30, general admission Saturday night at 6:30. And the crisis hotline number, 800-775-9011. You can find out more at nwaws.org. Think Northwest Arkansas Women's Shelter, nwaws.org. Just ahead on Ozarks, a survey of great classical and classical-related music in our part of the world for the next week. Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda sits down for her weekly conversation with musician and educator Leo Uribe. That's next. And after that, a preview of one of the shows they'll discuss from inside our Furman Garner Performance Studio.
Walton Arts Center presents The Complete Works of William Shakespeare, Abridged, Thursday, October 17th at 7 p.m. Three men in tights use wacky antics to take on the seemingly impossible task of performing each of Shakespeare's 37 plays in just 97 minutes. Tickets and more information available at waltonartscenter.org or 443-5600.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda, and I am joined now by Leah Uribe, an associate professor in the music department at the University of Arkansas. Welcome back.
Hello. How are you, Antoinette?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm super excited. This week, we had so much music around.
Well, it's happening this week.
The next concert is happening on October 11th, it's a Friday, at Stella Boyle Smith Concert Hall. And this is organized by our music department as well, featuring a guest artist. He's a singer. His name is Matthew Hawk, accompanied by Ben Harris in the piano. And they are going to be performing just beautiful music for voice and piano, including Johannes Brahms' Four Serious Songs, Ralph Vaughan Williams' The Song of Travel, and Jocelyn Binet's Song Cycle on the Poems of Paul Eluard.
And free.
And free and open to the public. It's Friday, October 11th at 7:30 p.m. Also, on that evening, at the Walton Art Center, we have Nobuntu.
I'm so excited.
I am so excited about this ensemble as well. It's hard to choose, right?
I know. It's so hard to choose.
At the same time. So Nobuntu is a female a cappella quintet from Zimbabwe. And this is happening at the Walton Art Center. It's part of the 10x10 concert series at 8 p.m. And I am fascinated by what these women do musically and otherwise. They're super, you know, connected with their community, and they have taken music as a vehicle to, you know, to emulate change and opportunities and to support women in their communities and otherwise, and also to deliver what is important to them in terms of race and tribal customs and religion and gender and economic boundaries and many, many other things. So that's a great opportunity to experience music from other places, but also connected because besides doing you know, Zimbabwean songs, they're you know, also singing gospel and Afro jazz music, and they are including instruments. So I recommend everybody to go there.
$10.
$10.
WaltonArtCenter.org.
Great. On Saturday, October the 12th at the Walmart Amp, we have this really, really cool happening. It has become a yearly thing, which is the presentation of the movie. This is Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban in concert with musicians from Zona. So I love these opportunities also to take classical music out of the concert hall. And here you will see orchestras like Zona and musicians like Zona musicians in a very specific environment. But now you go to the amp, you bring your blanket, you sit in the lawn, and not only you watch the movie, but you see live musicians. So that is a great opportunity, I think, to you know, diversify our usual audience. And also, the Bentonville High School Chamber Singers have been invited to be part of this event because there's some singing parts.
And more information about that is at WaltonArtCenter.org as well. And do you know how much tickets are?
They go from $22 to $75, depending on where the location where you sit. And we hope the weather holds.
Yes, fingers crossed.
But yes. Monday, October 14th at 7:30 p.m. at the Faulkner Performing Arts Center, we have a great event with the University Symphony Orchestra. The conductor, Robert Mueller, which is also our composition professor, has an amazing program for that night. This year is a celebration of 250th birthday of Beethoven. To honor that anniversary, the orchestra will be presenting Symphony No. 5. Along with that will be Wagner's Overture to the Flying Dutchman, and also a brand new piece by Minnesota composer Bradley Bombardier. Maestro Bombardier was a really dear friend of Bob Mueller, the conductor, and also his wife, Tess de la Plaine, which is our oboe professor. He died recently, and Bob and Brad had a, you know, a very parallel career, and they participated together in many festivals and wrote music and toured with their music all over. So this is you know, playing with for his memory, I guess. And this is a brand new piece for oboe d'amour and strings, featuring Tess de la Plaine as a soloist.
Oh, that's
so
lovely.
Also has that component of you know, something that is very connected with their experiences, but in brand new music as well, which is something that interests me a lot. Music that is written, you know, in this frame, time frame, and, you know, how that combines so well with, you know, pieces like Beethoven's and Wagner's.
And so how much is that one?
The Faulkner Art Center has a $10 general admission, but is $5 for students and faculty, also staff and seniors. And then if you're part of the music department, you get there for free.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So that's Monday, October 14th at 7:30 p.m. On Wednesday, October 16th, also at the Faulkner Performing Arts Center, the Wind Ensemble is presenting the first program of the year. And this concert is going to present band repertoire, including music of Bach, Vaughan Williams, Wagner, Percy Caddy, and Hindemith. The conductor of the wind ensemble is our director of bands, Chris Knighton, and I'm excited about this as well. Same prizes for the Faulkner.
All right, so much going on this week. Hard to choose.
I know. That very same night, which is going to deter me from being at the Wind Ensemble concert, is a concert by Nadia Larcher. She is a singer, folk singer from Argentina. And she is coming to our music department. This is a collaboration with the House of Songs. We have a great, great lineup for her music. She's kind of, if you, our listeners, are familiar with Mercedes Sosa or that movement of new song and protest song in Argentina from the 60s, 70s, even late 80s and on. This is kind of the same idea, but revisited with more modern sounds. Not only that, a dear friend of mine, Bo Bloodsoe from Kansas City, is coming to join the band. He's a guitar player. And he has invited me to participate in a couple songs. So you'll see
the presence
of the bassoon in this cool concert by Nadia Larcher. So this is happening at Stella Boyle, October 16 at 7:30 p.m. And it's free and open to the public. So last but not least is a clarinet player from Brazil. His name is Thiago Anselmo. And he will be giving a recital on October 16, Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. at Giffels Hall. This is in Old Main at the university. Solo clarinet is what the program is going to be presenting, which is very unusual. Usually you see these instruments accompanied by other instruments or in a chamber music, quintet, trio, or with piano. But the whole program is just solo clarinet. Thiago Anselmo is a musician that has worked really, really hard all over the world, not only with classical repertoire, but also with South American and Latin American repertoire and a lot of modern music. And he's also very interested in the connection between music and communities, and how music brings people together. So for the last years, he's been performing in retirement centers, nursing house homes, public schools, and hospitals. Excellent things happening in our area. Lots of opportunities to experience live music, and I hope you guys join at least one of them.
Thank you so much, Lee. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. See you guys soon.
One of the upcoming performances Antoinette and Leah just discussed is tomorrow night, the Zimbabwean quintet Nobuntu. They'll be on stage tomorrow night at Walton Arts Center as part of the venue's 10 by 10 series. This morning, the five women in the ensemble came to our Furman Garner performance studio.
Babes, 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 babes
If you don't mind, could each of you introduce yourself? I'll start with you.
Me?
Yes, you. Why not?
My name is Duduzile Sibanda.
My name is Joylene Sibanda.
My name is Heather Dube.
I'm Zanele Manenga.
My name is Tandega Moyo.
And together you are?
Nobuntu.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you
for having us.
This may be a trite observation, but it seems that you cannot help but smile if you're listening to or singing the music.
Yes.
Does it give you a sense of joy?
It does. It does. It takes us back to our roots. It's just magic. It purifies our souls, 'cause mainly we talk about stuff that we go through, like our day-to-day living, our challenges as a whole, as Nobuntu, our challenges individual, what we have came across and conquered, what we are still facing, our background as individuals, as a group, as a whole. It talks about basically everything, but it unites us. It brings us back to one same place. Mm-hmm. We've got the same common goal, and we are happy we found each other, and we are pushing, we're never stopping. So whenever we sing, we have this joyful memory, and because we come a very long way. So it's such an honor and a pleasure for us to be here today.
Yeah.
Wow.
You all began, I think almost all of you, if not all of you, began singing when you were young, perhaps even before you were teenagers.
Yeah. I mean, where we come from, music is just your basic life, if I may say. When you're born, you're sung to already, you know, in our baby christenings, our becoming of age. There's ceremonies for that. Like, music is everywhere. So even if you're not going to do it professionally or at school, you're already doing it at home, you know? So music is sort of our first love in Bulawayo or Africa per se, you know? So we're just musical.
Yeah. Finally, you travel, but you have this deep connection to your home, and you feel, I think, by reading, a responsibility to others who live and what you can do to perhaps help them out as well.
Yeah. We usually say, to whom much is given, much is required. Right. So we've thought that since we're on this platform, that not many people get, we really can't be empty vessels. We need to be impactful. We need to be meaningful to people's lives. So we will address issues of infertility,
child abuse,
domestic violence, love even. So that is our main goal, to really touch lives and talk to issues that cannot be set down and be scrutinized. But with a song, you can listen and think about it and do something about it.
Mm-hmm. And music can make a difference.
Yes.
It does, definitely. It
always does.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming in, and thank you for performing.
Thank you.
It was a great pleasure for us. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
The five women who are Nobuntu at the Carver Center for Public Radio this morning. They perform at Walton Arts Center tomorrow night at 8. Before they left, they sang another song for us.
No mutangele tulingoma.
No mukala.
No mukala. Tulingoma. Chabula tulingoma,
no mutangele,
no mutangele tulingoma,
ando mukala,
no mukala tulingoma, ngobumtulo uyayiduduzi,
uyayiduduzi,
wonomtulo.
Ubuntu in our Furman Garner Performance Studio this morning. They will be on stage at Walton Arts Center tomorrow night at 8 as part of the 10x10 series, meaning tickets are $10. You can find out more at waltonartcenter.org.
Travel opens your mind and your heart to new experiences, new people, and new ideas. Hi, I'm Rick Steves. Join me each week as we explore fun, affordable, and culturally expanding ways to experience our world. It's Travel with Rick Steves. Listen at our new time, Saturday afternoons at 1 on KUAF 91.3 FM, starting this weekend.
And a full weekend schedule can be found at KUAF.com.
Welcome to the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report. I'm Paul Gatling. Several hundred business and education leaders from around the state gathered in Springdale on Monday to recognize Gary George and Mark Simmons and their respective family-owned poultry companies. The nonprofit group Economics Arkansas presented those two families with the 2019 Excellence in Free Enterprise Award. The George family leads Springdale-based George's, and the Simmons family, of course, leads Siloam Springs-based Simmons Foods. Governor Asa Hutchinson gave the keynote address at the Holiday Inn Northwest Arkansas Convention Center. Economics Arkansas is an educational organization founded in 1962 that promotes economic literacy to students in K-12 throughout the state. Randy Lawson, who is the chairman and CEO of Lawco Energy Company in Bentonville, is the vice chair of the Economics Arkansas Board of Directors. He said Monday that the impact of this year's Free Enterprise Award winners is hard to measure.
We couldn't have picked this year two better families that run private businesses. A lot of people may not be that aware of, but many are, that live in their communities. But they really have done so many things. You see, my grandson today is playing on a travel baseball team, for example, and often their tournaments are at George Field here in Springdale. The Georges donated the land and helped build all of those things. The Georges contributed to the Children's Hospital here in Northwest Arkansas. So it shows you how the free enterprise system can work for somebody who started literally from almost rags and built up over several generations thriving businesses. Simmons, same thing. Simmons have transformed Siloam in many ways. They've been instrumental in helping John Brown University, as you well know, in Siloam, kind of go to another level. That university is really, really doing well now, my understanding, and so much of it's the leadership from the Simmons and, of course, the Brown family there, too.
After the luncheon, I also spoke briefly with Mark Simmons and Gary George, who shared some insights about their business philosophy while guiding the rise of two of the nation's largest poultry companies. Here first is Mark Simmons, chairman of the company his parents started more than 70 years ago.
Well, I think one of the key components for Simmons is our integrity, and just make sure that when we say something that we know we mean it, and that we do it. And so integrity, support of the folks that support you, and that's one of the very, very important things.
Right. Economics Arkansas is a very important and influential organization in this state. What's it mean to be recognized by their organization?
Oh, it's a huge thing. I met Bessie Moore decades ago, and she used to come and visit once a year and make sure that she knew that I was a contributor, and she wanted me to continue to be a contributor. She was a very, very persuasive lady and a very great lady, and did a lot for Arkansas.
That's Mark Simmons, also with a little remembrance of Bessie Moore, who was the first director of Economics Arkansas in 1962, when it was formed as the Arkansas Council on Economic Education. Gary George is a third-generation poultry executive who took over the family business in the 1980s, roughly 60 years after it started. He said the Economics Arkansas Award is special because it was a reflection of the family's success, and that includes what he called the extended family of George's employees.
What's the most important about this is it wasn't about me, it was about our family, and I'm just one, and then I got to say something about what we call our extended family, the people that work on our team with us, the past and the present, because we know that's what makes us go.
Right.
And so that's what's really special and different about this, is because it was about the family.
Kim Souza reported on Monday's Economics Arkansas Luncheon, and she has much more on our website at nwabusinessjournal.com. We've got more news after the break. You're listening to the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report.
Support for the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report is provided by the Arkansas State Chamber of Commerce and Associated Industries of Arkansas. The Chamber's mission is to promote a pro-business, free enterprise agenda and prevent legislation, regulation, and rules that hinder business. More at ArkansasStateChamber.com. First Security is proud to be only in Arkansas, and it shows in your banking experience. They offer smart solutions for personal and business banking, plus convenient services and community investment. That's because First Security is 100% focused on serving customers all across the state and nowhere else. It's local banking with local commitment. First Security. Bank better. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
A groundbreaking ceremony for the final project to complete the Bella Vista Bypass in Arkansas is set for 11 a.m. October 15th in northern Benton County. The ceremony will take place at the site where Arkansas Highway 549 comes to an end at Benton County Road 34. When completed, the Bella Vista Bypass will become Interstate 49. There are two projects on the Arkansas side that need to be completed, totaling about $102 million. One is a roughly 2.5-mile segment from Benton County Road 34 to the Missouri state line. That's expected to be done in mid-2020. The other project is a single-point urban interchange for the bypass at U.S. Highway 71 business in North Bentonville. That should be done in mid-2021. The existing segments of the bypass comprise Highway 549, and the bypass will include nearly 19 miles in Arkansas and Missouri. Missouri plans to complete its 4.8-mile portion of the bypass by the summer of 2022. And the Siloam Springs Chamber of Commerce is looking for a new chief executive. Wayne Mays announced recently he plans to retire as CEO after 13 years. Mays said his last day will be December 31st this year. Board Chairman Tyler Dees said the Chamber's Executive Committee will oversee the leadership transition. Before Mays started with the Chamber, he worked 5 years for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette Northwest Arkansas edition in external affairs. Before that, he spent 23 years working for AT&T and Southwestern Bell Telephone and was assigned to areas across Arkansas, including El Dorado and Fayetteville. Before he retired from the company in 2001, he was vice president for external affairs for SBC Telecom in Philadelphia. Those are just some of the stories you will find on our website. For more headlines, interviews, and podcasts, be sure to follow our reporting each and every day at both NWABusinessJournal.com and at TalkBusiness.net. And that does it for this edition of the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report. Until next time, I'm Paul Gatling. Thanks for listening.
This is Ozarks at Large. The next class for the Arkansas Business Hall of Fame includes four executives from banking, construction, publishing, and real estate. The 2020 class includes Gerald Alley, President and Chief Executive Officer, Conreal LP, Olivia Farrell, retired Chief Executive Officer for Arkansas Business Publishing Group, Charles Nabholz, Chairman Emeritus of Nabholz Corporation, and Ray Rutledge, Chairman and Chief Executive Officer of First Security Bancorp. The Sam M. Walton College of Business at the University of Arkansas and the Arkansas Business Hall of Fame Board made the announcement of the new inductees this morning. They'll join the 86 that are already in the Hall of Fame. Induction ceremonies are scheduled for February 7th in Little Rock. Saturday, the annual Golftoberfest will take place at Gator Golf in Fayetteville. Golftoberfest raises awareness and funds for Single Parent Scholarship Fund of Northwest Arkansas. More than 300 participants are expected to attend, including recent scholarship recipients from the Single Parent Scholarship Fund of Northwest Arkansas, as well as graduates and their children. Proceeds from the event will be directed to fund scholarships for low-income single-parent families to create better futures through higher education. Now, this is miniature golf. It's a Gator Golf, but like a traditional golf tournament, four-person teams will play 18 holes with a shotgun start. If you're a golfer, you know what that means. All golfers and participants, and if you're not a golfer, they'll explain it to you when you're there. All golfers and participants receive a goodie bag, lunch, and a T-shirt, prizes for first, second, and third place winners, as well as holes in one for each flight. For more information, 935-4888 or online at spsfnwa.org.
The University of Arkansas Theater presents Boeing, Boeing, running now through October 13th at the University Theater in Fayetteville. This hilarious French farce set in the 1960s follows an American architect as he juggles relationships with three airline stewardesses, 575-4752 or uarkartstickets.com for tickets or more information. Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art presents Crystals in Art, Ancient to Today, a new exhibition exploring the connections between crystals and art throughout the world. Artifacts to contemporary art will be on display from ancient Egypt, the Roman Empire, China, and Arkansas. Member preview is October 11th and open to the public on October 12th. Tickets and information at crystalbridges.org.
Contributors to this Thursday edition of Ozarks at Large included Antoinette Grajeda. Timothy Dennis mastered our show from inside the Harold and Blanchcock News Studio. Timothy also engineered the visit from Nabutu in the Furman Garner Performance Studio today. The Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report with Paul Gatling is provided to us through our partnership with Talk Business and Politics. There will be another edition of the report Sunday morning at 9 on Weekend, Ozarks at Large. And our thanks to Leah Rebe for her work with Antoinette Grajeda again this Thursday. Ozarks at Large is a production of 91.3 KUAF, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Bentonville, and Goshen. 91.3 KUAF is a listener-supported service of the School of Journalism and Strategic Media at the University of Arkansas. You can find us at ozarksatlarge.com. You can also subscribe to us through our free podcast. It's available at Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Apple TV, and several other services where you find podcasts. And you can listen to us through your smart speaker. Just ask your smart speaker to play Ozarks at Large through TuneIn. Our theme is titled First Hurrah. It's written and performed by Daryl Sean. You can find out more about Daryl at darylsean.com. The name of his most recent album is Safe in Sound. We're going to have more music for you on tomorrow's edition of Ozarks at Large. Foggy Bobcat came into the Furman Garner Performance Studio, much different than Nobutu, I'll tell you that. They came into our studio one evening this week with Timothy Dennis. You'll hear that and much more on tomorrow's Ozarks at Large at noon and 7 p.m. Oh, and speaking of music, Antoinette Grajeda also curates music for us at the end of many editions of Ozarks at Large. Such is the case for this Thursday edition. For this show, we're going to close with Sean James performing his song Flow. It was recorded for Ozarks at Large across the street at the Fayetteville Public Library, and it was exclusively done for us. We bring this up because Sean James will be at George's Majestic Lounge on Dixon Street Saturday night. Thanks so much for listening and spending part of your Thursday with us. We will be back with you tomorrow at noon and 7 p.m. for a Friday edition of Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. Have a great rest of your Thursday.
Gonna do when your ship starts to sink, caught in a monster sea.